Welcome to Me Time, the podcast for women in midlife who've been taking care of everyone else and now say, it's my turn to take care of me. I'm Kim Aceto, health and self-care coach for women in midlife and your host. Thank you for spending your precious me time with me right now. Enjoy the show. Okay, so today I'm here with Kathy Gottberg. Kathy has been a writer and the author of 6 books during the last 30 years. Her current passion is exploring ideas and experiences that help to create an aware, meaningful, sustainable, compassionate, and rewarding life for herself and others through her blog, smartliving365.com. One of her latest books is titled Right Sizing, a smartliving365.com guide to reinventing retirement. While many people don't start thinking about retirement until midlife, right sizing just might be the best way to live your best life now and prepare for the retirement before it arrives. Beyond that, she is happily growing and experiencing life married to her best friend and soulmate, Tom, in La Quinta, California. Kathy, thank you so much for coming onto the Me Time Midlife Podcast.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, the truth is that you write about many different topics, and I really like the one we're going to talk about today, and perhaps we can have you back another time to talk about another topic. But today we're going to talk about right-sizing your life, and I'm really looking forward to that, and I have some questions to ask you about that. But before we get into it, I'm going to ask you the question I ask every guest. What do you enjoy doing during your me time?
Well, I'm doing it right now as we speak. I live in a desert of Southern California, and it's very hot there. And so every summer, my husband and I try to get away for as much time as we can. And we can do that because we right-sized, which I'll get into later.
Yeah.
But right now, we're up in the mountain community of Idyllwild, California, which is a little 3,000-person town, nice and quiet, great hiking trails, lovely and cool. Just spending time in nature is a me time experience for me. Mm-hmm. Other than that, because I knew you were going to ask this question, there's a couple things I do, I guess you could say almost religiously. I read the book, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron.
Yeah.
I don't know if
I do.
Yeah. It's an oldie moldy. But I read it like 25 years ago because I wanted to think of myself as a writer. 25 years ago, I did not think of myself as a writer. So I started doing her morning pages. I don't know if you're...
I do morning pages as well. Yeah.
Oh, good, good.
Look
cool.
At that.
So
yeah.
I started that like 25 years ago and I still do them. I do them 5 days a week, not every single day. But they have become so important. I can't even imagine living without those three handwritten pages, and I do them by hand, and I have folders full of morning pages, and it's become not just a meditation, which she says it does, but it's also become, it's just such a great, it's a therapist, honestly. It's my self-therapist. Write anything in there. And it also proves to you, you can write no matter what. I've had several illnesses and things that happen along the way, and I could still write in there, and I can still write no matter what. And now 25 years later, I'm proud to call myself a writer and an author. So I walk, I have a little dog. We walk every day. That's a 7 day a week thing. And then I also meditate every day. So those are things that I can't even imagine life without.
Wow, that's great. And for those who are listening that don't know what morning pages is, it's basically just, it's something you do in the morning. You can either do a specific number of pages that you're going to write, or you can do a specific amount of time that you're going to write for. And you just, it's kind of like a brain dump, right? It's kind of like, how does she explain it? Where you just want to clear the cobwebs out, you know, and before you start your day. And you can write whatever you want, and it doesn't have to make sense, and it doesn't have to be beautiful or grammatical or anything like that.
I try to do it first thing, and which she does, because it is the brain dump. It's like clearing the thoughts and cobwebs. She does recommend 3 pages of longhand, and that's challenging because so many people are, I typically write on the computer, but there is actually something very, I think artistically almost, of using maybe your right brain in a different way, because you have to, you write cursive, and how many people write cursive these days? Not that many. So it's kind of a cool practice.
Yeah. And actually I find too, that, you know, handwriting really slows your thoughts down more, right? Unlike typing, I can type much faster than I can write. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that's great. And you meditate, and you just came back from a hike, right? You shared that with me, I think, before we started. That's
a couple hours ago, for sure.
Good for you. Good for you, Kathy. Practicing what you preach, right? Smart living.
I sure try.
Every day of the year, 365.
Yeah, let me clarify. SMART stands, it's an acronym. It's not intelligent. It's sustainable, meaningful, aware, responsible, and thankful.
Right. I was thinking what that R was. I was like, is it relationships? But no, it's responsible. Yeah, it's responsible. I love that. I love that. Actually, one of my clients, she had something she was going through, and I recommended your blog, because I think it's great, and just how you've, you know, created your books and all that stuff too. So, anyway, let's get into our topic today, which is right-sizing your life. So we hear about downsizing a lot in midlife, right? Because maybe if you've had kids, your kids have flown from the nest and you don't need so much space or so much stuff. And there's other ways you can downsize, I guess, in your life. But you use the word right-sizing. So is this a word you came up with, or is this a common thing that I don't know about? And what is it? What does right sizing mean?
Actually, right sizing is a business term.
Ah.
Not necessarily the most flattering, because what happens is in corporate takeovers, they come in and they typically right size. Mm. And mean a job elimination. So it's not necessarily a good thing in that context.
Right.
But when I started thinking about downsizing, and when my husband and I started getting involved in the sustainability movement, probably 15, 20 years ago. And we just kind of thought about, maybe it is time to downsize, but I never liked the word downsizing. Mm. So when we came up with right sizing, it was kind of just a play on it, because to me, the major difference between downsizing and right sizing is when people think of downsizing, they tend to think of it as a sacrifice. Like they have to give something up. Somebody, when I mentioned it, somebody said it's like a downgrade. Mm. Where right sizing is an upgrade. It is instead choosing to make positive lifestyle choices that support you as you go ahead, rather than like, oh God, I have to give up my nice things. And, you know, I know it's good for me. It's like going on a diet. You don't want to, but you think you should. And I didn't want that approach. I wanted to reframe it in my own mind in a positive way. And that's why my husband and I came up with the word right sizing to explain the journey we decided to take at the time.
I like that. What's right for you, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah. Definitely. That's great. So tell me more about how did you and your husband start to think about this, and why? What was going on? What prompted you to explore this right?
Well, besides the idea of that, we kind of started, well, we had friends who kind of introduced us to the whole sustainability movement, which was more an environmentalist movement at the time. And up to that time, we were kind of clueless. We just never paid that much attention. But all of a sudden, we're like, oh, yeah, how most people live in our country really isn't always very sustainable. And when I mean sustainable, I mean, we spend money sometimes that we don't have. We get involved in things that really aren't supportive of ourselves or the planet. And we, you know, that gradually started worming its way into our brains. And then came the housing crisis. But let me give you a little background before that. Both my husband and I have real estate backgrounds. I became a broker like 35 years ago. The thing is, I was not cut out to sell. So I started writing about real estate. I would write this and that and the other thing. And my husband, he's still involved. He's a commercial real estate broker. When the 2008 housing crunch happened, we kind of saw the handwriting on the wall. We knew something big was happening. It was unsustainable. I mean, the house prices just kept going up, up, up. And mortgages got bigger and bigger, and everybody was like, well, we'll just sell it and make a profit. Well, it's like a pyramid scheme. Pretty soon, somebody's going to topple. So we kind of started saying, you know, our business is going to go down. I was writing for escrow companies, and Tom obviously was a commercial broker. So maybe we should cut back on our expenses just to be careful. Now, we've always been pretty frugal, so it wasn't like we were overextended. We had a very nice house, actually. But we started looking around going, you know, do we need all this space? It's just my husband and I. We have no children and our dog. We had 3-car garage with 3 vehicles and a motorcycle. Mm. And we had a pool in Palm Springs. You have a pool. Everybody has pools. And we had a big yard, which we had to hire a gardener because it's too big to do ourselves. And I mean, we had so much stuff and it was very nice. But we started analyzing, do we really need all this? And if we didn't spend the money on this, could we do other things we enjoy more? Mm-hmm. So we just made the decision to put our house on the market. And luckily we did it before things got too crazy. And we went looking for another house to live in. And at first I was like, okay, I'll go down a little bit. But then we found a neighborhood we really liked and we almost cut our square footage in half. And I was like, oh dear, can I do that? You know, I have a lot of nice stuff. I mean, right. That's what I hear from everybody. It's like, oh, I love my stuff.
Right.
It's like the problem. Most of us do love our stuff. But I thought, why not experiment? Let's try that. So we did. We bought this smaller house. And fortunately, we had enough equity to pay for it free and clear. So we went debt free. And I can't tell you what an amazing thing that is. Now, I know not everybody's in that position. But when you get to the point where you can live somewhere and it's free and clear, you have no mortgage. And we had no HOA dues, you know, homeowners associates, none of that. Our taxes were, because we downscaled, basically, our taxes were lower. Our insurance was lower. We ended up putting solar on our house and desert landscaping. So our utilities and everything is probably less than $300 a month. So we couldn't live anywhere in the world cheaper than where we can live in our house right now. Right. And the good news is we've been in there 9 years now. And we love it. We absolutely love it. And perhaps even I'm kind of stringing all this together. But one of the best things is we added up how much money we saved after moving from our big house to our small house. And it's not tiny. I mean, it's still 1400 square feet. So it's not like a baby house or anything. We figure we save somewhere between $31,000 and $35,000 a year.
Wow.
Since we moved into the house.
Wow.
So it just shows you, if you sit down with a piece of paper and figure out how much your lifestyle is costing you. And so what we did at the time, we were like mid 50s when this happened. And we had virtually no savings. And I'm sure you've heard in the world today with baby boomers, most baby boomers have very little in savings. It's like 50% have nothing practically. And we were kind of in that category. We had equity, but we had no savings. So what we started doing is, just because we had so much extra money, we started putting at least half of it investments. So we put all this extra money into investments. And the other half, we traveled and started things that we really and truly had always wanted to do, but you know, you kind of put it off because you're thinking, oh, I don't really have the money for it. So people are always asking us, well, how can you rent a house in we rent a house in the mountains and we rent a house at the beach. And people are like, well, how do you do that? It's like, well, because we have the disposable income now. I mean, and it's not putting us in any kind of bad position at all. We spend so much less than we make. That we can easily afford to do that. And that's the gift of right sizing. So I've given you way more than you probably
No, that was great. I was just going to say, it sounds like the house was the right size for you guys, right? No pun intended. Yeah.
Well, and you know, one of the biggest things is people are always asking me like, oh, so you mean I have to live in a small house? I really like a big house. I would say, again, the nice thing about right sizing is it's what's right for you. Right. If you can easily afford it, if it's bringing you all the joy and happiness that you want to do, because you don't really, I mean, you know, some people aren't into traveling. They don't want to go anywhere. They want their house to be really special for them. That's cool. Or if they have a bunch of kids. I mean, some people have a lot of kids and they want to utilize it, but there's also a lot of women. I know a lot of women who have big houses and it's just them and their husband, maybe, and maybe a dog or a cat. And it just, we're rattling around in all this space that takes extra money to maintain and to purchase. And well, I could go on, obviously.
Yeah. And the bigger your space, you know, the more we want to fill it, right, with more stuff. And then you got to maintain that stuff. And so, and then you got to declutter when you do end up right sizing. So great. I love that. That's wonderful. So then you were able to, with this right sizing of your house, you were able to travel and have other adventures and live in other places, right? You've actually multiplied your housing, you know, beach. So you have a place, well, you rent a place at the beach and then you have a place in the desert and then in the mountains.
Right.
So
we have one primary residence and we rent the other places, and people are always like, oh, why don't you buy something? Especially you're in real estate, you should buy something. And it's like, we learned a long time ago that it's better to buy investments that bring you cash flow. And then you have the freedom to spend that cash flow, either reinvest it or spend it on things you love, instead of tying it up in more real estate, especially second homes or boats or cars or RVs and stuff. We're not RV people. Some people are, we're not into that. So it gives you a lot of freedom. But right-sizing also touches on just about every area of the life. I mean, honestly, if you're working at a job that you really hate, just to buy a big house, you know, so you can impress your friends or drive a fancy car just because your profession calls for a fancy car, maybe it's time to right size your job. We have a lot of freedom. My husband, like I said, he's a commercial real estate broker and he's been doing it for so long, but he's very selective about the clients that he works with. He calls himself semi-retired because we go to different locations, as long as there's phone and the internet now, and he has an assistant that he's able to work with to handle some of that stuff. And I have the benefit of working on the computer wherever I am. So that's in our opinion, we've right-sized our occupation too. And we try to encourage people. It's like selling your soul for money is not right-size. You know, so any old job just because you need to, you know, buy stuff. Or just to pay bills. I think a lot of times we keep ramping up our bills because we want to be happier.
Right.
I think buying all that extra, you know, 5,000 channels on, you know, on the internet, it's like on your television, it's like, who watches 5,000 channels?
Right.
Sit back and then have that extra money to do something that really brings you pleasure.
So yes. Yeah.
Right sizing can touch every area, your finances, your work, your relationships, and of course, yes, your living arrangement.
Right, right. What a great time in midlife to be thinking about this, right? Just what, especially the women I work with, you know, it's, you know, they've been spending most of their lives taking care of everybody else's needs and tending to everyone else's wants. And now in their midlife years, they're starting to ask themselves, who am I? You know, what's important to me? What do I want? Right? What's right for me? And you start to examine all of these areas. I love the, you know, you talk about right sizing. And of course, the obvious one, I think, is the home. But I never thought about the job, right? What were some of the other things that you mentioned? What are some other ways you can right size other things?
Yeah, your finances. Just go through and decide where you're spending your money.
Right.
Have you ever heard of Lynn Twist? She is the author of this, The Soul of Money. Mm. And it's about, if you want to know what's important to you, look at your credit card bill, or look at your credit cards are more obvious now than, you know, checks, but it's, what do you really think is important? Because I think we spend so much money on incidentals, again, to kind of self-medicate. I know lots of women like to shop. That's their primary hobby. And it's like, but I think it's a habit that you form. And then the next thing you know, you have more and more and more stuff And then you wonder about, you know, decluttering it. And then you stress about decluttering it. And it's like we said earlier, isn't it better just to catch yourself early on before you start going down that road? And, you know, in so many ways, now I admit that I'm fortunate in the fact that my husband and I are on the same page. I think it would be challenging to try to do this as extensively as we have, unless we both have kind of the same mindset about it. But if you can get, if you're single, there you go. But if you can also get your spouse kind of headed down that direction, I think you can support each other and encourage each other until it becomes such a habit to you. Now, it's like shopping to me is like, okay, I do it if I have to, but it's not like, it's not fun anymore like it used to be. It used to be fun to me, and it's not so much anymore. So, you know, I think it's just really shifting your attention away from that and putting it on what really matters to you. And you don't have to wait till you get to be midlife, honestly. Right. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of younger people who are into minimalism. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of
minimalism? Oh, yeah.
And I think they're kind of headed, they've got an early start on this because they're realizing, while they're still young, that accumulating a lot of stuff and getting heavily into debt is not necessarily sustainable for a happy life or for the planet. So, you know, the sooner you can get going with right sizing, it took me far too long. I wish I'd gotten started sooner, but
right.
You learn the lesson when you can.
Yes, yes, exactly. So what are some steps that people can take to start right-sizing their lives? What do you suggest? I know you have a whole book about this.
Yes.
And you write a blog, you know, of course, and this is one of the topics you talk about, but what are some steps, some practical things that people can start?
I would say the first thing my husband and I did, and the first thing I always recommend to people, is to sit down with yourself somewhere quiet and really, really be honest about what's important to you. If you have a family, I mean, most people would say, you know, my family is the most important thing, but how much time do we actually spend with the people that we say are the most important thing in our life?
Right.
If you take the time to figure out what's most important to you and make a list of it and find out, okay, here's the list of what I really, really believe makes my heart sing. And here's what I'm doing. You know, I'm spending 8 hours on the job, 2 hours commuting, an hour eating lunch that probably isn't that healthy. I mean, I think if we evaluate, maybe do a T-chart or something, you know, where you put the things you really love on one side and the things that are really holding you back from living the life that you want to. You know, if you want to create, okay, are you creating, or are you just, again, putting your hours in, whatever that might be? So I really think getting honest with yourself, journaling helps, making those lists, talking with close friends that you know will be honest with you. That really helps. Of course, the friend thing you can, what's the old saying now? They've come out with studies that say you actually have more of a chance of being overweight if you hang around with friends who are overweight.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, if you hang around with people who spend a lot of money on all sorts of things, guess what? Your chances are they're going to want to go out to eat all the time. They're going to want to go buy cool things all the time. They're going to always be talking you into trying and buying things that they would do. So you do have to be a little careful. If you suspect that you're spending, if you know you're spending more than you make, that's probably a really key right there. If you're spending more than you make, something's got to end. And because it will, I mean, it's a train wreck. It will eventually catch up with you. So if you can stop yourself and then start scaling back. And again, it's not a sacrifice. It doesn't have to be a sacrifice, because when you're so honest with yourself about what matters to you, then you do that. You know, writing is important to me, and it doesn't, I like to have a nice computer, but other than that, it doesn't cost a whole lot of money. Walking with my dog in nature doesn't cost a lot of money. You know, all the things that bring me joy, travel now, it does, that's where I kind of splurge, just because I do like my travel. But you have the resources to do that once you get rid of all the rest of it. So right. That's my first step. And first and foremost, you can't get very far. You can go, there's thousands of websites and books about decluttering,
right.
You know, lots of books out there to do that. So I don't necessarily recommend that. It's not a bad thing, but it's not going to the heart of what the issue is. And the issue is trying to make yourself feel better about your life by accumulating stuff or hanging on to stuff that may or may not really make you happy.
Mm-hmm. So getting really honest with yourself and learning what's important to you.
Yeah.
This is a very first step, right? Then taking an evaluation of your current life and how you're spending your time or your money or your days at your job, yes, or whatever it is, or with your friends, what friends you have.
And you might want to just take one category at a time.
Right.
You're like, I'm not suggesting you blow up your life tomorrow.
Right.
And it lasts a while. Even when we decided we wanted to sell our house and move into something a little smaller. What's the sale? When you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yes.
When we started looking at another house, most of the houses we were looking at was very similar to the one we sold. And it was like, no, wait a minute. Let's really try to do something a little bit different here. And so it did. It took us about 6 months of looking and talking and looking and talking. We actually rented because we did sell our house, and we rented for a while until we were like, where do we really want to live? The location of where we really wanted to live was more important to us than the square footage. Mm-hmm. The amenities of the house, we wanted to make it very sustainable. And like I said, we have solar and we have desert landscaping and extra, all the stuff that comes with that. And we wanted a dog, so we needed a yard. So,
we didn't have a dog yet, huh? Before? You didn't have a dog.
No. Had one before and the dog unfortunately passed away. So we wanted to get a dog, and we also wanted to make, have you heard of outwalkability?
The
walkability score, and we got it. So we can ride our bike, walk, so many amenities, and we didn't want to do homeowners association. So many people get sucked into all the amenities that come with the homeowners association. And I'll be honest, sometimes I'm a little tempted. But not having that cost, I can easily go, if I want a swimming pool, I can go to a hotel and pay their day fee. And when you think things through like that, you'd be amazed at how much you can just eliminate so that you can focus on what matters. I think we distract ourselves too. We're so busy running around taking care of all this stuff that we've accumulated that we don't have the time just to sit and chat, talk about something that's rewarding to us and important, or take a walk in nature.
Right, right. So Kathy, just share a little bit about your blog, because you've been writing it for a long time and really developed. Tell us a little bit more about your blog and some of the things you write about and your books as well.
Well, I actually did an environmental blog for about 3 years, and it got really heavy. Mm-hmm. Environmental issues can get really heavy. So I thought I love inspiring people, and including myself, and empowering other people and reminding people of what I think is innate within all of us. And so I kind of came up with the acronym of SMART, because it was big enough that I could write about all kinds of things. When I find something interesting, I just kind of, I'm like a dog with a bone. I just run with it. And that's what I did with Smart Living. So it really depends. I do tend to like things that are very psychologically focus, why people do what they do. Right sizing is like, why do people get themselves in trouble, and what can we do to get out of trouble? And I also, when I turned 60 a couple of years ago, I suddenly became more aware of, oh, wait a minute. And we talked about this. I'm not sure I'm in midlife. Am I in midlife anymore? Right. And if I'm not, what comes next? Where do I want my future to go? And I wanted to make sure it was positive. So I do write on positive aging. I try to write on what makes life purposeful and meaningful, because I believe, and again, people say, well, where do you get your ideas? And I'm just like, well, I get them because I think they're interesting and I need to hear it.
Right.
I find that very helpful.
Likewise. So, I write like that as well. Yeah.
I'm the only person reading it. Yeah. I know. Okay, it kind of takes my morning pages to the next level. Yes. I write something that's important to me and meaningful. And if other people find that helpful too, that's great. And then I realized a couple of years ago that not everybody, especially people in my demographic, like to read online. Mm-hmm. They do prefer books. So what I decided was I had all this content, because when I write blog posts, they're articles. They're more article-y than little blurbs. You know, some people write little blurbs. I'm not that good at blurbs. So I compiled the blog posts that I had written around a particular theme. So the first one was Simple, Smart, and Happy. That's kind of how you can simplify your life. Then the second one was Right Sizing. And the third one is Positive Aging. Mm-hmm. And then I've written a novel, because everybody's got to write a novel, right? So I wrote a novel. And I have a real estate book. And I also have a small book. My first book was published by a company out of Scotland. It's a spiritual book. But they're all available on Amazon. I'm very proud of them. They're like my little children. And I want to keep writing more, because I keep writing more content and I'd like to get it out there. It's nice to know that, people are reading the ideas and getting something out of them.
And you thought you weren't a writer.
I know.
Well, but Kathy,
I've heard so many other authors say exactly the same thing. Yeah. It takes as long as it takes. There's like a shift inside of us, I think, when we realize, wait a minute, I am this now. I claim this. I own this.
And right.
I'm really able to do that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, Kathy, thank you so much. I'd love to have you back to talk about another topic. But thank you for sharing your right-sizing story with us and inspiring us to get started on something, right, that we can when it comes to right sizing. So I love that. And so listeners, you can go to kathygottberg.com, smartliving365.com. And I'm going to put all the links in the show notes for her website and her Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest and all of that, so that you can go and start following Kathy. So Kathy, thank you again so much for coming on to the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. And I think you have a great show, and I'm looking forward to listening to all of your guests.
Well, thank you so much. If you find the Me Time Midlife podcast valuable, there are many ways you can support it and support yourself while doing it. You can review it on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to listen to it. You can tell your friends about it or share it on social media. And if you want more me time in your life, consider becoming a member of the Me Time Midlife Community. This is my online community of like-minded and like-hearted women in midlife who want to take charge of their life by cultivating their health, happiness, and purpose while building connections and friendships along the way. There are many benefits to joining, including monthly member-only Q&As with some of the experts you hear on the podcast. Plus, as a listener of the podcast, you get a special listener discount. Go to metimemidlifepodcast.com to learn more. Again, thank you for listening. And until next time, remember, you've been taking care of everyone else. It's your turn to take care of you.